spilling.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is Expect the Unexpected. All three of my guests are discussing unexpected things that many of us did not know before. My first guest is a leading authority on China and the Chinese economy. She told us about the burgeoning Chinese middle class and what it means for the United States. My second guest did extensive research on animals to discover their surprising secret lives. We discussed the similar characteristics that we have to animals. My next guest is going to dispel the myths behind being a freelance professional. Freelancing is one of the fastest growing segments of the economy. Whether it's because of economic necessity or personal desire to be their own boss, solopreneurs are here to stay. And if you have any questions or if you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Pete Savage is the co-author of The Wealthy Freelancer. He's also an accomplished speaker, marketing consultant, and coach. A lot of different publications have used his research and published his insights. Pete blogs at thewealthyfreelancer.com, sharing strategies from his decades-long experience with managing clients. Most of the time, he was managing them as a freelance marketing consultant and copywriter. Pete is also the founder and host of Pete Savage's Ultimate Supper Club. It's a free radio interview series with Pete, and he interviews guests, and they explore the secrets of human potential and business potential as well. Pete lives in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada, with his wife and two children. Welcome to the show, Pete. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you as our guest, particularly from Peterborough. The city is a capital of hockey up in Canada, but we're not going to talk about that today. We want to talk about freelancing professionals. So let's start at the beginning, shall we? Some people listening to the sound of our voice are at work, perhaps they're in their car driving to a sales meeting, that kind of thing. What is a freelancer? How would you define it, and why are they so important to our economy, particularly now?
Sure. So freelancers is a word that describes, it's one of the words that describes a service provider who isn't traditionally employed by an organization, but who typically provides services on a project-by-project basis. And so you might be a freelance copywriter, a freelance graphic designer. There are even freelance engineers and accountants nowadays who basically, instead of working exclusively for one company as an employee, have several different clients who they tend to and work on a project basis throughout the year.
All righty. Now, a lot of people, statistics have shown this, a lot of people really are dissatisfied with their job. Depending on which survey you read, it might be as few as 50% of the people, as high as 75% of the people are dissatisfied with their job. But people are kind of laying low because of the economy, waiting for the economy to turn around. If people are of that mindset, they're listening to you, they think, maybe I should be a freelancer. What kind of person is best suited to do freelance work, and how would listeners know if that might be him or her?
That's a great question. If you're thinking about doing freelance work, you have to ask yourself primarily one question is, am I a self-starter, and can I be trusted, or can I trust myself to stay disciplined, to stay motivated, to do work for a bunch of different types of companies, to meet deadlines, and to do all of those things without necessarily having a boss, having someone who's checking up on you, or having other team members that you work with on a day-to-day basis to kind of, you know, keep your head in the game.
Hold you accountable there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Pete, everybody says, oh, yeah, I'm a self-starter. I mean, we all believe that we're self-starters, whether we are or not, and that's a self-deception that many of us have.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, a lot of people right now are finding themselves in a situation where maybe they're forced to go out and try to do something on their own because of what's gone on in the economy. And, you know, it's one of those things where even if you do a little bit of soul searching and see if it's right for you or not, sometimes the proof is actually in the pudding. And so if you're finding yourself where you're recently out of work, it's taking note of or taking an assessment of your skill sets and seeing, okay, how can I do what I was doing or maybe do something new and try it. Try to do it on a freelance basis. And now's a great time to do that.
All right. So one of the questions you have to ask is, am I a self-starter? Can I stay motivated? Are there any other things that you need to look at before making this leap to becoming a freelancer?
What you need to look at is your situation in terms of where you find yourself financially. Is it something where you're going to need to do a major push in terms of getting clients, do a lot of marketing up front, do a lot of talking to different people? Or is it something where you can maybe currently stay employed and ramp up on a slower basis, maybe on a part-time basis, and build your business that way? And I was in the situation where I was actually fired from my job. My two co-authors on the book, they were in the opposite situation. They sort of plotted their escape and did it on a part-time basis.
I like it. They plotted their escape. That makes it sound very much like The Great Escape or one of those movies. We're talking to Pete Savage, everybody, author of the book, The Wealthy Freelancer. Pete, in that answer, you hit upon one of the real crucial issues of being a freelance professional, and that is that delicate balance between marketing and operations. You know, that's got to be the hardest part of being on your own, is how much do you market when you've got clients and you've got to actually do the work versus doing the work and then marketing to get your next client. So talk to us about that balance that you have. What is a successful freelance professional? How do they strike that balance between marketing and operations?
That's a great question, and really that's the number one thing that trips folks up, is that they might get a client, or they might get a couple clients or projects on the go, start to do a lot of work, and then realize when those projects come to an end, oh geez, where's my next one going to come from? So it starts with the mindset of understanding that, you know, there are all kinds of marketing initiatives you can do. There's social media, there's direct mail, there's going out and going to networking events. There's literally dozens of things. And it's to understand that you don't need to do dozens of things all the time. You just need to pick a handful of marketing tactics that you feel are going to work for you, try them out, and then commit to just doing a few things regularly. And that, Bill, might frankly be every week you just make a commitment to yourself that you're going to send out 5 sales letters, or you're going to go to 1 networking meeting, that sort of thing. So it's manageable and you can keep on top of it.
All right, that sounds good. We're talking to Pete Savage, everybody. Now, Pete, we've hit on 2 of the things that you have to ask in your self-assessment. Am I a self-starter? And then, of course, look at your financial situation to see if you've got the wherewithal to kind of stick out the startup period that you need whenever you start a new business. Are there other questions that you need to ask yourself before jumping into this arena?
Yeah, you need to really ask yourself, what is it that I feel like I can do as a freelancer? So is there a particular skill set that I have that I was contributing to my past company, let's say? Is there something that they really valued about me? And how was I making a difference? How was I contributing in my organization? Because if I was employed by one organization to do that, then the odds are there's going to be many other organizations who need those same skills. And you could offer it as an independent professional, a freelancer, a consultant. And again, those skills could range from graphic design to being a writer to more of the less creative skills like, accounting and that sort of thing.
All right. That sounds good. Now, Pete, let me ask you to help us sort of dispel the perception problem that being a freelancer is. Because many people think, if you tell them I'm a freelancer, they think, this person's unemployed or they're between jobs. And that's the natural conclusion that they come to. Why is this a misconception and how do you get around it?
Yeah, I think back, maybe 20 or even 10 years ago, there was this automatic equation in people's mind that said freelancer equals starving artist. And the fact is, some freelancers are struggling and are starving. In fact, there's a lot of them out there, but that's more, I think, due to an acceptance of that long-standing paradigm or that long-standing belief on an individual level that there's a lack of opportunity for freelancers out there. And if I'm a freelancer and I get a project, the heavens have just opened and I'm so thankful for it, and, you know, I have no idea where my next one's going to come from. But what we really tried to do in the book is profile people like ourselves who've managed to create a sustainable business and in many cases have more work than they can handle. And the book basically highlights a lot of those freelancers to help sort of change that myth, so that when we give advice and when we show people strategies on how you can market yourself, for example, it's not automatically dismissed as some pie-in-the-sky thing. It's actually something that a lot of companies, especially in the North American economy, are set up to accommodate now.
All right. We're talking to Pete Savage, co-author of The Wealthy Freelancer. Pete, tell us some of those stories, because I think the proof is in the pudding. Particularly, tell us somebody who's making a nice living as a freelancer, because like you said, many people think freelancer equals starving artist.
Absolutely. I'll tell you of a gentleman by the name of Michael Martin. and he's a blog consultant. So he started out, he was doing, I think it was design work, graphic design work for, a local company that he was involved with. And over time, he just decided to develop his own blog. And this was talking about some of the passions and interests that he had. Over time, he started doing or providing a service for other businesses where he would help them get a blog together. And that could be individuals or small businesses when everyone was kind of looking and hearing about the word blog but didn't really know what to do or get one up. Michael kind of got involved early in that sort of movement. And then over time, he found that, you know, he got in at the right time. He knew a lot about blogging, both the technical aspects of putting a website together, but then also about what your blog should have. So what sort of things should you have on there to keep people coming back and build an audience and keep people interested? And he's morphed into a blog consultant. And in fact, if you were to Google the word blog consultant, Michael Martin ranks number one, at least he did a few weeks ago, and I know he has for many months now, number one in the world for that search phrase, blog consultant. That's an example of someone who made the switch to just do these sorts of things on his own, and now he's an independent consultant focused specifically on helping people put blogs online.
Well, Pete, that's a great story, and obviously Marco Martin is an encouragement for people who are out there thinking about it, but if you are earning a fairly big salary and you've got to replace that salary, plus you've got to replace maybe 40 to 50% extra in benefits like health insurance and all that, I mean, is Michael really making that much money to replace his corporate salary? Can you make six or possibly even seven figures out of this?
I don't know too many seven-figure freelancers, to be honest, quite frankly, but I do know, for example, that there are even now freelance executives, freelance CEOs, and often it's the case where freelance executive directors are being brought into companies to maybe bridge a gap or to serve to take a company from one level to the next with the understanding that, you know, they're not going to be around for a while. They're going to come in at a high salary, they're going to do the work that they need to be done, and it's basically going to be on a project basis where they trade their expertise and their services for a higher project rate.
Okay, we're talking to Pete Savage, everybody, co-author of The Wealthy Freelancer. Pete, if people are listening to this, they're kind of warming up to the idea. Give us some details of how you would get started. What are some of the costs involved, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure. Well, actually, that's part of the great news because there's very little cost to get started as a freelancer. In fact, most people can get started without spending too much money at all, maybe a few hundred dollars to get a website up and running. But beyond that, if folks already have, obviously most people in their household have a computer, really you just need your internet access, your computer, and then, you know, you can be online and you can be serving clients locally or even beyond your local area as your business grows. Mm. In terms of equating that to costs for starting a business, there really isn't any comparison because, you know, you don't have the overhead like you would store and inventory and all that sort of thing if you were starting a more common type of small business.
All right, so you get rid of some of the overhead, but certainly there are other things. You got to have a business license. Certainly you want to have that. You've got to have a computer, assuming that you don't have one at home. But even if you do, it may involve upgrading that computer to a more industrial strength computer if you're going to run a business off of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you want to make sure that you've got something that helps you with your productivity instead of holds you back type of thing. But these are the kinds of things that, you know, even to be frank, if you go to your local Staples, for example, explain to them what you're looking for. That's the type of information that's really easy to come by and more affordable to kind of bring into your home and get set up with something that's not going to let you down.
All right. Pete Savage is the author of The Wealthy Freelancer. Pete, in your book, you offer 12 secrets to succeeding as a successful freelancer. We don't have time for all 12, but if you had to pick two or three of the 12, what are the top two or three that you would choose and highlight here?
Sure. I'd like to mention secret number one, I think. I always like to mention that. It's called Master the Mental Game. And there's one reason why, and that's because even though freelancing is surging in popularity and because more and more companies are working with freelancers, it's still, for a lot of folks, viewed as a fringe or a fad type of way to make a living. And so when you make the announcement to your close circle of friends or your family that this is where you're going to go, odds are you're going to have some well-meaning folks who are voicing their, you know, discontent as to that as a career choice, as to going out on your own. And so it takes a little bit of mental strength to kind of commit to this idea of being a freelancer and working for yourself. That said, though, because there's a lot of freelancers out there now, it's growing in terms of the acceptance level. And so over time, we'll kind of see that diminish, is my prediction.
Well, Pete, you have created sort of a community for freelancers as well. If people are listening to the sound of your voice, they like what they're hearing, they maybe want to learn a little bit more about The Wealthy Freelancer, where would you direct them to go?
Sure. If you go to thewealthyfreelancer.com, you're going to be able to find out more about the book and what we've got going on. And your audience, Bill, I can give them a sneak preview, because 2 days from now, if you go to a brand new website that we're starting called internationalfreelancersacademy.com, we're going to be posting all kinds of free video training on there to help people get started and build a successful business.
International, that's spelled out, I-N-T-E-R, National Freelancer.
Freelancers, plural, Academy.
Academy. Thank you.
Right.
Academy.com. That's great. We've been talking to Pete Savage. He's one of the co-authors of The Wealthy Freelancer. Pete, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. All the best, Bill.
And to you, too. Thanks.